Matthew chapter 20. And I'll read from verse 30 through 34. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Mercy. You are the one who answers when we cry unto you. Son of David, our Savior, our God, we come before you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've been doing in our lives, O Lord. We bless your holy name. We worship you, Father. Lord, I commit these few minutes, O Lord, I'll be sharing with your people before you, Father. I pray that, Lord, you would anoint your words, O Lord. Lord, let it bless our hearts. Let it bless our souls. Let it be something that will add value, O Lord, to our spiritual walk with you, that we may be firm and steadfast in you, Father. Even as we remind ourselves, O Lord, from the letters of your word, we pray that, Lord, you will bring it to life in our hearts, in our soul, in our being, O Lord. That, dear Father, Lord, these words will not stand in judgment against us, O Lord. But, Lord, they will stand for us, O Lord, to the blessing and to the praise of your holy name, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning I will be sharing more or less like a character study, or we're going to look at the a king in the Old Testament. And the name of the king is King Hezekiah. So, Brother Kunle, if you can please cue up these verses. There are three major books that recorded the life of King Hezekiah in the Bible. The first one is 2 Kings chapter 18 through 20. I don't know how time now is about 11:10. Pray that the Lord would grant the unction to go through it. But if not, it will be another time we finish off. So 2 Kings chapter 18 through 20, if you can write these verses down. Also in 2 Chronicles 29 through 32, 2 Chronicles chapter 29 through 32 records another version of that relates to King Hezekiah. And the last one is in Isaiah, the book of Prophet Isaiah, chapter 36 through 39. Chapter 36 through chapter 39. 2 Kings chapter 18 through 20, through chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 through chapter 32. And Isaiah chapter 36 through 39. I'm going to use 2 Kings 18 through 20 as my main text. Then the other ones, I'll be referring to them as well. They all, most of them captured the main points of the life of King Hezekiah, but some have little details more than the other ones. So 2 Kings chapter 18. Through 20. I'm just going to be reading certain passages of it. And please, let's make it a discussive. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. And we would all, so that we can all benefit from it. Now it came to pass in the third year of Uzziah, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. So how old was he when he began to reign? And he reigned for? So that makes him how old? So he was 54 years old, right? Apart from mommy, grandma, and probably one or two other folks, who is up to 60 here yet, apart from grandma and mommy? So this, his life really applies to us here. Most of us are still under, well, apart from one or two who are over 50. So he was 54 years, right? He lived for 54 years. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29. And we know the story of Hezekiah. He was the one who prayed. And how many years did the Lord add to his life?
15.
Okay. So let's go on. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Just to quickly backtrack, he was the son of Ahaz. Ahaz was, if we go back and read the story of Ahaz, he was a wicked king. But the Lord used Hezekiah, his son, in the opposite direction for the benefit of the kingdom. So Hezekiah's father was really wicked, but Hezekiah himself chose the way of the Lord. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Remember the story of the bronze serpent, right? When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they were going into the promised land, the Lord sent, through Moses, he sent spies, 12 spies into the land to go and spy out the land. 10 came back with bad report, 2 came back with good reports. They were, you know, the 10 came back saying they were giants and, you know, mighty men, that they won't be able to occupy the land. And because of that, the Lord prolonged their journey from Egypt into the land of Canaan because they murmured against the Lord. And it was in that wandering around that they were complaining against Moses, that, you know, about the food, about the meat, about, you know, things. And the Lord sort of also punished them further by sending fiery serpents into the camp. Remember, Numbers was the fourth, I believe, was the fourth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So in Exodus, the Lord had already given them the Ten Commandments, right? Exodus 20. And he said they shouldn't serve any god, any image. The Lord directed Moses back then to raise up the serpent as a symbol, not to worship it, but whoever looks onto it. The Lord was teaching them faith, right? That whoever looks onto it will be healed. And those who looked onto it got healed. Fast forward to 2 Kings now that we're reading about. The children of Israel started worshiping this image. And how does this apply to us? as Christians, there are certain things, methods that God may use in our lives to bring forth victory for us. But we convert them into idols. If we are not careful, perhaps through their carelessness, they started worshiping idols. They made this thing into an idol and started worshiping it. But we thank God for Ezekiah, who came, realized what they were doing, and broke it into pieces. You know, somebody said to me, I think I was reading it somewhere, that what is idol worship? It's like a patient who is sick and needs a surgeon to work on him. And the patient now goes to the tools and starts bowing down to the tools. Oh, you know, the tools that healed him. That's what I can equate it to. Instead of the surgeon, our master, Jesus, who is our Lord, that's the person that we're meant to be bowing down to, not to the instrument that he used. It applies also when we look at our Christian, there's some ministries who are known to use water. Perhaps God used the water to heal somebody in time past. Do we have to make that? You know, just a food of thought. There's certain, you know, when we pray, we have to say Jesus' name 3 times, amen 3 times. So we have to be really careful in certain things that we do, that we're not making them into, they're not becoming idols in our hands. So let's continue reading. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So it's recorded here that this king, his heart was really stayed on the Lord. He loved the Lord. He was purposeful in his heart that he's going to serve the Lord no matter what. Unlike any king before him or after him. So this man is not, this king took his faith seriously. If the Lord will say this about him, a testimony from the Lord about this king, not from man about him. So he took his work, his relationship with the Lord very seriously. And that's how we should also take our relationship with our Father very seriously. Now it came to pass in the verse 7, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory from watchtower to fortified city. Now it came to pass in the 4th year of King Hezekiah, which was the 7th year of Hosea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at that time, and at the end of the 3 years, they took it. In the 6th year of Hezekiah, that is, the 9th year of Hosea, king of Syria, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. We know at this point, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. Judah, the southern kingdom, and Israel, the northern kingdom. Israel was made up of 10 tribes. And Judah was made up of 2 tribes. Judah and, I believe, Benjamin were the 2 northern tribes. So at this point, the king of Assyria had laid siege over Israel for 3 years. They surround it. Nobody can go out. Nobody can come in. After a while, when you're starved to death, you will give up. And that's what happened. So for 3 years, the king of Assyria besieged Israel and conquered Israel, the southern kingdom. So they were totally desecrated. Verse 11. Then the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Halal and by the harbor and the river of Gozan and the city of Medes, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, that they should neither hear nor do them. And in the 14th year, King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. So by this time, by the 14th year of Hezekiah himself, the kingship had changed in Assyria. So it was a new king, different from the one who took over, who conquered Israel. Sennacherib, as Yoruba would say, Sennacheribu, was now the new king in Assyria. He wanted to also do his own conquering, and he came over to the northern kingdom now. I'm sorry, the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And this was the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib. So as I said earlier on, I said, how many years did Hezekiah live? 53, right? 54. So he was 25 years old when he became king. In his 14th year, that's when Sennacherib came. So 14 plus 25 is 39 minus 54. Yeah, 15. Sorry, 54 minus 39 is what? 54 minus 15. How many years did the Lord add to him? 15. So we know that the same time that Sennacherib came was around the same time he was going through what he went through. There was outside issues, right? And also he was also going through certain things within his own body. In the 14th year, that's the life of a believer sometimes. There will be pressure from inside, pressure from outside. Is Sarah with you? Please, can you join us over on this side? So I don't have to be turning around all the time. So let's note those dates down as well as we are going through this. I just wanted to bring some context into this as we are reading it. When I was doing the study on this, I never knew until when I started looking at the numbers and the dates that really Hezekiah was going through a lot. As a king, he saw how kingdoms around him, Israel, was taking over. And yet he purposed in his heart to serve the Lord. There was another king who had conquered so many territories, knocking on the door of Judah, wanted to take it over. And apart from that, he also had his own internal issues that he was facing. Yet, he still served the Lord. We'll continue to read further. Then, verse 14. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria of Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasuries of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave them to the king of Assyria. May the Lord not give us problems that we cannot bear. The king of Assyria, he revolted. Perhaps the revolt did not work. And he now finds him. That this is what you have to pay for you to enjoy peace. The man looked everywhere, all the money that he can raise from his own pocket, the one he can get from the church, from the temple, all the ones, the golds and this thing, the decoration, that was what Solomon, how Solomon sort of decorated the temple of the Lord. He had to strip down all those gold, all those trinkets, the one on your fingers, the neck chain, the bling blings. He had to contribute all of them for to pay this the demand, to meet the demand of King of Assyria. But yet, it didn't measure up to what the demand was. Verse 17. Then the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rash, the Rabsaris, and the Rashika. These are the king's emissary from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to them. Then then Rabshakeh said to them, saying, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? There are points in our lives in which the enemy will come. First, he will say, okay, let's compromise. Pay this and everything will be okay. Most of the time, you can't fulfill that, his demand. Then he came with a mighty army, thousands, to surround two tribes, the tribe of Judah, to intimidate them. Sometimes the enemy will come to intimidate us. It could be in our personal lives, in our financial life, in whatever, that the devil may want to put his hands on, just to intimidate us, to make us fear. The king sent his emissary to not just the three people, three or four people that was mentioned here, but they sent them with a mighty army to surround, to really put fear in the heart of the people of Judah. You speak of having plans, verse 20. You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? We know that the high places that Hezekiah brought down were the idol places, were, you know, in the time of, if we go and we read the account of the account in 2 Chronicles, it gives a little bit more light of what Hezekiah actually did. Hezekiah, knowing that the children of Israel, the other 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, were desecrated, he encouraged them. He called them up. He broke down, apart from the ones in Judah, he broke down also the high places in Israel as well. You know that in the days when the kingdom was broken, was divided into two, the children of Israel set up high places and they had two cows for people who are close by to go to the closest one, which would represent the temple, and that's where they would, you know, meet up and do their sacrifices. So that's the high places that this the king was king of Syria was referring to here, that was not the high place of the Lord. The high place of the Lord still remained in Jerusalem, the temple of God. That was the meeting point for the children of God. So Hezekiah, having broken down those high places, the king of Syria took that as breaking down the high place of the Most High God, but it wasn't. It was a high place of idol worshiping that he broke down. Verse 23, now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on it. How then will you repel one captain of the list of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Verse 25, Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Sometimes the enemy can come to us and use the word of like how he tempted Christ in the wilderness, in which he used the word of the Lord to tempt them. In this verse 25, he says, how I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it, is a question. Does anybody have another verse, maybe NIV, to read that particular verse? Verse 25. I read New King James. I read New King James. Sorry. New King, NIV, anybody? So we can. Okay.
Land and destroy it.
Okay, so we can see here the king of Assyria was saying that he had come with the permission of the Lord to come and destroy this place, but we know that, you know, he was lying. The devil can come to us with the word of the Lord, so you have to know who your father is, to know when your father is speaking to you and when the enemy is speaking to you. The Lord did not send him up to go and to terrorize the children of Judah. Verse 26, then Eliakim the son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servant in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said to them, Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and spoke, saying, hear the word of the king, of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and everyone from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain, new wine, and a land of bread and vineyard, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. Do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Right? So we see here the, you know, sometimes when the devil wants to really make a mockery of one, of one's faith, he will speak it out to everybody to hear, or wants to make, you find yourself in situations in which you're trying to tell him, oh, please be quiet. Please be quiet. Don't let people hear. Don't let them know that I'm going through this. But that's when he will get an amplifier and amplify it more. Have we been in situations like that where we feel that, ah, this thing is, you know, the devil is really using me like a rag doll in the mouth of a terrier, you know, one of those bulldog dogs that would take a child's rag dog and be flinging it, you know. Sometimes the devil is so wicked that he will do that to us. These people could speak, you know, the recorders and this thing understood the Assyrian language. And they told, okay, please tell us what this Assyrian king is demanding from us so that we can resolve. They don't put fright, don't put fear into the hearts of the children of Judah. But the devil will not listen to that. They say, okay, no, I have to announce this so that everybody will know what they are really facing. And look at the promises of what he promised them. He said that if they would come into alliance with him, he will allow them to eat, to drink from their own cistern. They will eat from their own food. But he will take them afterwards. He will now take them to his own land, like he did to the children of Israel, and disperse them among the different tribes. Imagine North Korea coming over to US, capturing US and taking all of us 300 and something million people, dividing them, spreading us all out in different places that we don't know. We don't speak the same language. We just find ourselves in a foreign land. That's what this man was promising them, so that there won't be a unity. You know, they won't come together and rebel again. That's how they used to do, like they did to the children of Israel. They took them, spread them all across the land of Assyria. You know, something like that. That's what he was promising them. But he was promising them that at least they will live. He's not going to kill them. You know, no matter whatever the deal the devil has for us, it's not the best deal. It's not the best deal at all. All he wants to do, as we know, is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But may we find victory over him in Jesus' name. Let's quickly continue. Where am I? Verse 32. Verse 33 now. Has any of the gods of the nation of at all delivered his land from the hands of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Ip and Apad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Sister Buki, what was the pronunciation of that word before you start laughing at me? Okay. And Hina and Iva. Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hands? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asa, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Chapter 19. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered his sackcloth, covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. There are some situations that we go through, no matter what we try to use to, until we go back to our Father in honesty. That's what Hezekiah did here. He had to run back to God because the problem was, you know, there's situations where we get to that we have been back to the wall. The Red Sea in front of us, Pharaoh behind us. Who do you run to? Who do you call upon? When you've exhausted all your life, you've called your friend, you've called your father, you've, in like the million dollar game, you've exhausted your life, they've taken away the answers that are not the right ones, and you're left with two. You've exhausted everything. You are really back to the wall. Who do you call upon? Who do you really seek after? Hezekiah had no other choice. He had to run to the Lord. He had to go to his father. He had to really seek his face. I remember when I was still young and I was about to enter college, are going through. And the school where I attended the secondary school, there were groups of, you know, I got admission to Polytechnic Ibadan. And I remember back then that there was a day in which I was in my room at home and I prayed. I cried to the Lord. I said, God, please, I really don't want to go to this school, to Polytechnic Ibadan. I really didn't want to go there. And what was the reason? There was a lot of peer pressure upon me back then. There were some groups of us who already had plans of what we're going to do when we enter Polytechnic Ibadan. We will have a house, a hostel together. You know, it will be one girl after the other. That sort of thing. And I remember that day, one night like this, I cried unto her. I said, God, I don't really want to go to this place. You know, these are my plans. Please, do something and take it away. I remember honestly, you know, there are some prayers that you pray that is not long prayers, but you know that is a prayer from your heart. It's a prayer from your heart. And how the Lord answered that prayer, it came from a place that I wasn't even expecting it. I never thought that it was coming from there. My sister was posted to Gongola State back then. It was Gongola State. And as a UCOPPA, she studied at University of Ilorin. She served in Gongola State. Because she did accounting as well, as I did, she was a lecturer. She was posted to Federal Polytechnic, MUBI, as one of the lecturers there. So she had already served a year. She was about completing when she just took an application form, put my name on it, and put it in, and I was given admission. I just got a courier. There was no phone back then. So I just got a DHL saying, pack your stuff and come to MUBI the following, that same weekend. That's how the Lord took me out of Poly Ibadan. Save me from attending Poly Ibadan that day and that year. and took me to Mubi. And I will never exchange anything for it, for the experience that the Lord took me through in Mubi. So I'm just trying to bring out that there are situations, God, when we deal with the Lord, we have to really be honest with him. You know, we were praying on some few Sundays. There's nothing in John 15, it says there's nothing John chapter, can you pull up John chapter 15, please? The verse that we read at the prayer meeting two Fridays ago, something about the without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15. Let's read that verse. I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. Do you have it up? I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Let's go down to the verse that says, Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know, we have, I pray that situations will really bring us to the presence of the Lord. That when we have no place else, nowhere else to go, we have to just trust in him. We have to have faith. I would say that without faith, we can do nothing. We can't see him. So we have to put our trust in him that he would take us to our final destinations. There are certain things that we go through in life that we really have to go to our Father. If we go to him in the genuineness of our hearts, he will answer those prayers. Those are the prayers that he listens to. David, son of God, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. That's what they were crying. It was a deep prayer from their heart. And out of the multitude of people who are thronging and following Christ, Christ stopped and he asked them. When it's true prayers, the Lord stops and he answers our prayers. When they are real, true prayers from our heart, he does stop and he will listen to them. But if they are just vain repetition, he wouldn't even give a, you know, about them. So we really have to relate with our Father with a genuine heart. And if we are not, let's pray that the Lord will help us to really relate with him as our Father, so that we would really benefit from his dealing with us. The time is fast spent, but I will just cover certain more verses, then we will pray. Let's listen to the answer that the Lord gave to Isaiah, to King Hezekiah through Isaiah. Verse 6, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, and for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tahaka, king of Ethiopia, look, he has come out to make war with me. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the Assyria. Look, you have heard what the king of Assyria has done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nation delivered those whom my father have destroyed? Gozer and Hara and Reps and Rezep and the people of Eden who were in Tilasa. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Ivah? And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O God, O Lord of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria has laid waste the nations of the land and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hand, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdom of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back, whom you have reproached and blasphemed. Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes of on high? Against the Holy One of Israel? By your messenger you have reproached the Lord and said, By the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountain, to the limit of Lebanon. I will cut down all tall cedars and its choice cypress. And his choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of his border to his fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk strange water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of the defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times, that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing 45 cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore, their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass of the field and green herb, and the grass of the housetop and grain blighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your age against me. Because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore, I will put my hook in your nose, and I will bridle your lips. I will turn you back by the way you came. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and in the second year, which springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit to them. And the remnants who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, those who escape from the Mount Zion. From Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it from my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And it shall come, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of Assyria 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. Hallelujah. We were as Sister Success shared with us last Sunday, when the Lord turns around the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. You know, when God does it, you just know it's God who is doing it. There's nothing you can do, you know. He will do it beyond, above and beyond what you can ever think or hope for. That's how God saves. He will do it that you open your mind, wow, and you can't close it. Just for you to know that he is God. He wanted to prove to not only Syria, but to the king of Hezekiah that you're trusting me. As we read last week, that when Peter asked, what are we going to gain for leaving our house? The Lord said, you know, I'm going, I'm preparing a place for you so that where I will be, you will also be. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to give us beyond what we can ever think or hope for. So that when we, you know, we should serve him. He just wants to prove himself in our lives. He just wants to show. He wants to, you know, as the word of God says, that the children of God is going to showcase us before our enemies, before his enemy, to say, you know, as he did to the children of Israel, that he is our God. He wants to do beyond that what we can ever think or hope for. And that's what he did here. They weren't 185 soldiers killed overnight. They couldn't shoot one single arrow. And that was the promise, you know. The whole city was encompassed by this army. They couldn't go out. They couldn't come back in. We may find ourselves in situations like that where we feel that we are entrapped. Could it be our children? Could it be our family matter? That we feel the world is closing in on us. But God says that he will bring deliverance. We just have to put our trust in him. We have no other choice anyway. You know, as Joshua will say, me and my household, I will serve the Lord. Because we have read what he can do. He has dealt with us, even personally. We can reflect back and we can know that, yes, it was God who brought me out of that situation. He has, in our little ways, we may not be what the king of Hezekiah experienced here, I mean, of mighty army, but there are some things that he had done in our lives that we know that, yes, it was God who did this for me. It couldn't have been man. So let us trust in him. There's no other person that we can trust. We can't trust in the system. We can't trust in America. We can't trust, put our hope in the dollar or in the naira. Neither. All those things, they wane. But we have to put our trust in him, who is able to save, who is able to deliver, who is able to do beyond than we can ever hope or think of. I will stop here. And I gave you the verses that we, you know, where this story was coming from. Can go back and there's some more about King Hezekiah, perhaps another time. But let's stop here and just let's reflect on these words. Let's really come back to him. Let's pray. If there are situations in our lives, let's bring them honestly before our Father, and he would take care of them. Praise the Lord. Are there any questions before we pray? Any questions at all on this? Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Almighty, we thank you for your word that is yes and amen. Lord, we've seen your hand in our lives, O Lord. Individually, you have been with us. We reflect on situations that we have gone through, that we know that it's only your hand that was able to bring us out. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you've been dealing with us, O Lord, as your children. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you brought to our remembrance again, O Lord. That we can trust in you. You are the one who made us. You know us. You know us personally. You know us individually. Uniquely, you know us, O Lord. And Lord, we come to you, Father, with our hearts bowed, O Lord. We know that you are the one who is able to save. You are the one who is able to deliver. You are the one who is able to promote, and you are the one who brings down. You raise up one, you bring down another. Heavenly Father, Lord Jehovah, we humble our hearts before you, Lord. Lord, we ask that, Lord, you please forgive us where we have trusted in the arm of flesh. We ask that you please forgive us where we have negotiated with the enemy. We ask that, Lord, you please forgive us, O Lord. We pray that, dear Father, O Lord, even as we have come back to you, O Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will deliver us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Should there be anyone who is going through any situation in their life, Lord, we ask, O Lord, that, Lord, you please show yourself strong in their lives, O Lord. Whatever the situation it may be, there is nothing too small that you are unable to solve. Lord, we bring these issues before you, Lord. We pray that, Lord Jehovah, even as we have read and we have learned in the life of this king, who had so many issues ahead of him, apart from leading the children of Judah, he had the enemies surround him. He had issues in his own personal life. Lord, we pray that, dear Father, O Lord, we will be strong and remain steadfast, O Lord, in your love, O Lord, in the assurance of your word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, O Lord, for you are God and there is none like unto thee. Blessed be your holy name, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.